It's Monday of the second week of Advent, and it's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Welcome to today's AdventCast. This is Father John Zinsberg. From The Church's Year of Grace by Pius Parsh. Today's feast emphasizes primarily the extraordinary fullness of grace granted to Mary in the first moment of her conception. We likewise celebrate her exalted prerogative of being the only person who, through the merits of Jesus Christ, was preserved from every stain of original sin. In its origin and purpose, today's feast has no relation to Advent. It was placed on December 8th simply to complete the needed nine-month period before September 8th, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. However, the feast readily lends itself to Advent themes. During the time when we are awaiting the Savior, when we are striving to arouse in ourselves a deep consciousness of the need for redemption, when we lovingly look up to Mary as our chiefest model, then indeed does this feast seem like the golden dawn before the rising sun of Christmas. December 8th, therefore, is a genuine Advent feast. In many ways, we have a rather imperfect understanding of today's mystery. We consider its significance this. Mary was born without sin. Indeed, she was free from original sin from the first moment of her existence. We fail to see how purely negative this assertion is. Mary's sinlessness is not the main thing. It is but the smaller part of her greatness. Sinlessness would hardly make her much different from a newly baptized infant. For us, likewise, to be sinless is the reverse aspect of our Christian ideal. A demented Christian can be sinless, too. A Christian's greatness depends on grace, on the degree of fullness and thoroughness of God's kingdom in his soul. That sin be put more and more into the background and banished is, of course, important, but it is not the principal thing. The angel says to Mary, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." He speaks very positively. He does not say, "Thou art conceived without sin, thou didst remain unstained by original sin." He says, "Full of grace," that is, the kingdom of God is in you with a fullness, a strength, a firmness that no other creature possesses. Next we ask, can God's kingdom grow and increase within us? Many think the less they sin, the more holy they are. Surely we must avoid sin. We must aim to become ever more pure of heart. Yet our holiness does not rest on this alone. A comparison. You have an old, dirty shirt. Even after all the spots and stains are carefully removed, the shirt is not bright and new again. But we can become bright and new by receiving additional grace. One often hears Christians who strive after perfection utter the complaint, "I am not making any progress. On the contrary, I am getting worse." That is a mistake. Perhaps they are confusing grace and holiness with the practice of the virtues. I readily grant that Christians who are zealous in the practice of virtues will also receive more grace. Nevertheless, we must not confuse virtues with grace. There might be a Christian, for example, easily inclined to anger, which he finds hard to control, yet with an abundance of grace in his soul, while another, who by nature is very gentle, may have a less of the fullness of God's kingdom. While we're at it, St. John Paul II explicitly used the title co-redemptrix multiple times in magisterial or semi-official contexts. He didn't use the term dogmatically, but he employed it to express Mary's unique and subordinate cooperation in the redemption. For example, in an address in Guayaquil, Ecuador, he said Mary was spiritually present with her son on Calvary. She was one with him in the offering and sacrifice. Mary is our co-redemptrix. In an Angelus address in 91, speaking of Mary at the foot of the cross, John Paul called her the co-redemptrix, for she cooperated with singular efficacy in the work of man's salvation. In a general audience in 82, he said, "Crucified spiritually with her crucified son, she cooperated in the work of salvation in an altogether singular manner. In this sense, we call her co-redemptrix." And an address at Altötting, he said in 84, "The spotless virgin was co-redemptrix of the human race." In a speech to a meeting in Fatima in 84, he said, "Mary, co-redemptrix, participates in the sacrifice of Christ and is given to us as mother."